Oh, look. Who's that? It's Comedy Mouse. I think he's trying to tell us something. What's he saying? Listen to Burst.
Welcome to Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something Blue. My name is Liana, as you may know. And here on Burst, on our third episode of this show here in Studio One, we have a very special guest, and you already know him. He's part of our Burst team 2016, and I'll let you guess, he has a beautiful voice, he's very lively, and yeah, he's nice. His name is Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the compliments. It was very good. I was hoping you would say more, but two or three is sufficient.
Okay. So now we have Ben to talk about four songs that he considers as old, new, boring, blue. So let's start with something old. What did you bring for us today, Ben?
Something old. Well, I have to say I did put a fair bit of effort into coming up with songs for this show. And I've changed my selections as I've thought about it. But this one, my old song, I've always stayed true to. Now, it's a song by Van Morrison, performed at the Capitol Theatre in 1979, and it's called The Troubadours. Now, I've got a little story behind this. I was going to be slightly reluctant to share it, but talking to our producer earlier, Jasper, he's encouraged me. Now, reason I came across this song originally is that my old man was actually the drummer. Now, over Christmas, he was showing me a few YouTube videos. And he actually showed me the video where he got recruited to become part of Van's band, which was really interesting. He was playing with the bass player who was playing with Van Morrison, and they were playing a song, and it was with a really old school African-American musician, probably in his late 70s, 80s. Now, I'm not sure what this guy's name was, but it was a bit of strange music. And then it pans to the front row with the crowd, and you go left and right, left and right, left and right. And then suddenly you see Van Morrison's manager. His name is Steve. It's Steve something. Steve, Mr. Shootman person. We'll get there in the end, huh? We'll get there. Anyway, Steve saw the old man play, saw that my father was a proficient musician, halfway decent, and got him into the band. So this is the first video the old man showed. And then he goes, look, check this concert out. Now, as I said, it was in 1979, a Capitol Theatre in New York. And the band is exemplary. He said that he would only change one member of the band. Apart from that, it's Van's best band. So musicianship displayed throughout is fantastic. And I listened to this song pretty much non-stop, but it was my top five songs of last year. Love it. I think it's great. So really enjoy the saxophone, keeping the ear open for that. And also the lady singing backing vocals. I think she's got an angelic voice, does a great job. Love the song. Hope you guys enjoy it too.
In the clear night air. forever. Parkinson on trumpet. Pee Wee Ellis on sax.
Hell for every man all across the land, and from shore to shore, they keep singing songs of love.
Just listen to The Troubadours by Van Morrison. That was Ben's choice for an old song. So Ben, you were telling that your dad was part of the Van Morrison band as a drummer, right?
Correct.
So did you have the opportunity to visit like the backstage of the band and see?
Not then, as I wasn't born.
Oh.
Yeah. Later on in life I did, which is pretty cool. I'll tell you a good story about that. I don't actually remember, but one of his many gigs, he was a drummer for Andrew Lloyd Webber's Starlight Express. Now, that's a big musical up in London where the actors, they go around on roller skates and things like that, and there's a whole big hoo-ha. As I say, I don't remember this whatsoever, but apparently I was like 4 or 5 years old. I was sitting in the audience, and one of the roller skaters, they like roll past me and come over and be like, "Hi, Ben, how's it going?" I was like, "Oh, wow, craziness." So that was like a cool little part. But yeah, you know, going backstage for concerts and things like that, it's part and parcel of the old man's career and something I've been fortunate enough to do a fair few times. So yeah, big thumbs up, cool stuff.
So you have like a music background in your life. Do you play any instruments of your own?
I can barely walk, so I'm not too coordinated. So no. I remember when I was younger, I tried to play the drums and I was never good at all. But I did do a performance once. I was about 7 or 8 years old. I had 2 or 3 friends round. I had one friend who could play Yankee Doodle on the piano, someone else who maybe strum a couple of things on guitar, and I tried a drum, and it was awful, awful. But
really?
That's my only musical experience. Yeah, playing Yankee Doodle is ridiculous. No, I have no musical talent, but I am very good at singing in the car, and I'm also very good at playing with my steering wheel. So those are my instruments, I suppose. Well, my voice is an instrument. I'm rubbish at singing. I'm kind of semi, I don't know. Who knows? No one's ever going to hear me sing, but I like my voice. And as I say, I'm very good at hitting the steering wheel in time.
But do you think that your dad influenced your taste of music because he has such an interesting background?
Yes, for sure. 100%. Because I'm also pretty lazy as well. So it's kind of what I get introduced to is what I listen to. So I've listened to a lot of the music he's produced, some of my favourite songs and stuff that he's worked on as well. So yes is the answer to that, but I'm pretty sure it's born out of laziness, not much more, you know? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, there is a cool little synergy when I'm like listening to a song that he might have played on and I'm in the car and playing along as well. There's a nice little, oh, it's my old man, that, you know? It's cool. It's a good bond that we have, and something that's only become more impactful later on in life, you know? When he's dead, it's going to be really nice to listen back to his music and then have that whole like, oh yeah, cool. So yeah, it's good stuff. I'm a proud son, that's for sure.
Oh, that's sweet. But in your family, does anyone else play any instruments, or is it just your dad?
My older brother, I was saying before that I think I can sing, but I was joking. He sincerely thinks he can sing and he can't. Josh, if you ever hear this, I'm sorry, but it's the truth. He comes through the front door and he sings in this really high-pitched, horrible, and it's just, please be quiet. I do not want to hear this. He definitely suffers from delusions of grandeur, and he's tried to do an album before and he was like, I'm not even going to do it for like a creative expression. I'm going to do it for it to become monetarily successful and make loads of money and be rich, and I'm going to be... And I was like, how? You can't sing. Your music partner's a deluded drunk. Like, what's going on there? So I'm going on a tangent about my brother here, but no, that was him. And the younger brother, he likes to make beats. So he puts tunes together. And to be fair to the kid, he's been plugging away for a good 5 years. When he first started, he was truly rubbish. You know, he'd be cracking one for however long, come and listen to it. And I didn't have the nerve to say, this is awful, what are you doing? But I have a lot of respect for my little brother because he kept chipping away and he's got better and better and better. I don't listen to that type of music at all. I don't like electronic music. But I got familiar with some of his tunes. And then since coming to uni, and I'm living with some second years now, so I'm 30, I'm living with 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds. They're playing this same kind of music. I'm thinking, my little brother's stuff sounds as good as that. You know, slightly different, but he can still crack away. But unfortunately, all his computers are down at the moment. He needs some technical assistance that he's not getting. But I have hope and, yeah, we'll keep it at that. Hope and faith in the little brother that he could do it, but he just needs to keep cracking away. So, yeah, that's that. They show a little bit more musical nous than I do.
And do you think that when you decided to study radio, did you want to, like, at first think about working with music on radio or no?
Never, because I know music's not a blag. And by that, I mean you can't just wing it, you know? Living with a professional, the old man, like, he's, like, listening to someone perform live on TV and he'll just make these strange faces, like, oh, they've sung a bum note or they've done that wrong. And I'm nodding away thinking, this sounds brilliant. I can't hear. I haven't got a trained ear. Musicians do. So they pick up on things. So I've always had respect for music. And because I'm not a musician, I've known not to dip my toes in something I'm not familiar with. That being said, I know how to talk. Occasionally, I'm pretty good at it when I don't mess up my words and I create coherent sentences. So this is a field I'm more familiar with and one that I believe I could do well in. And it is like a slight tangent offshoot, I suppose, of the family business. But it's something that I'll be able to do and something that I'll be a field that I'll be comfortable within as well. So, yeah.
Okay, so next, move on now to the new song. What did you bring?
It's a banger, yeah? Let's say that. It's a banger. It's a tune, bruv, yeah? So this is Western, Best Friend.
That's my best friend, that's my best friend. Hey. She's so lumpy, out of the ends, yeah. Looking fleeky, got braids like dashiki. Hey. That's my bestie, my best friend, yeah. In a zone, yeah. Man, she a rider, only see her in designer. Had this baddest B.O. you want behind her. She got the main line, you got the light car. Oh, you know my bangers from the street, hey. Thought that she was prestige, yeah. Ah, nigga shipping through the whole team. Ah, she be going future coding, coding crazy. Oh, yeah. Back to my lady. Oh, yeah. There's no maybe. She down for it all. All she want is the call. So I hit her up and she be on the. I hit her up and she be on the ball. Be on the ball. Oh yeah. That's my best friend. That's my best friend. Hey. She's so lumpy, out of the ends, yeah. Looking fleeky, got braids like dashiki. Hey. That's my bestie, my bestie, my best friend. yeah. In the zone, yeah. L's.
Yeah, see, that's my best friend, that's my best friend. Best friend, best friend. Yeah, we from the West and with them Westerns. Yeah, see, I'm two-stepping with Pro Memphis. Side my cup, I slow my sentence. Mark my words, wear to my necklace. Yeah, barking weapons, father blessing. Yeah, I've been selling Austin penance. Yeah, you talking reckless, pardon brethren. I don't fold my stance and sentence, not my brethren.
That's my best friend, that's my best friend. Hey, she's so lumpy, out of the ends. Yeah, looking fleeky, got braids like dashiki. Hey, that's my bestie, my bestie, my best friend. Yeah, in a zone, yeah. Man, she a rider, only Sierra designer. Had his baddest be all you want behind her. She got the main line, you got the light car. Oh, you know my bangers from the street. Hey.
Now what you say,
yo? I came from the B, it was hard. Serving the things that were large. I've been through the battles, I'm scarred. When I found me a plug, now I'm charged. I don't play games with these kids, I just might kick your ball out the park. I put four in the lead, all my veins go with purple, it warm up my heart. You call that girl your wifey, I just call her my bestie. I tell her don't call me, just text me. Go park up your car and come sex me. My EP charted, I said flick. Ain't sobered up in a week. Get on the stage and I flick. We the hottest ones out in the street.
That's my best friend, that's my best friend. Hey. She's so lumpy, out of the ends. Yeah, looking fleeky, got braids like dashiki. Hey. That's my bestie, my bestie, my best friend. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you know it's a mad thing. Me and my baby like Tupac and Janet from Poetic Justice. She's got the main line, Vodafone optic. Like it, they musky, I like her deductive. They like her, they upset. They like to get upset. They like into, they like interrupting. My sweetheart, I'll fly around and go meet her. Right now with my beamer. Ride round with that beater. Kick it in the west side, with a western. She even knows it's the western. So I hit the motorway and go get her. But only because
that's my best friend, that's my best friend. Hey. She's so lumpy, out of the ends. Yeah, looking fleeky, got braids like dashiki. Hey. That's my bestie, my bestie, my best friend. Yeah. Man, she a rider. Only Sierra designer. Baddest, baddest be all you want behind her. She got the main line, you got the light car. Oh, you know my bangers from the street. Hey. I'm just in my zone. Western. She got the main line, you got the. She got the main line, you got the brick fold.
You just listened to Best Friend by Western. So Ben, the rhythm here changed a lot from classic rock to English rap. So how do you declare yourself about this?
Oh my goodness, I've got to justify myself, explain my choices. I shall tell you why. So the old tune had to go old. That's what I went for, which is great. New tune, something contemporary. I was introduced to this song over the Christmas holidays. Now, I went home to my family home and I spent a lot of time in my little brother's room. Now, he's got a nice big room at the end of the house, kind of a loft room. So I'm doing this with my hands and it's kind of like a loft-shaped roof. So diagonal all the way down. Towards the end, we've got three sofas and a TV at the end, big speakers. Now, my little brother's a bit of a cool guy, a little bit of a gangster. And his friends are even more gangster than the little brother. So they were showing me a lot of British rap hip-hop when I was back over Christmas. This guy was like showing me street videos. It'd be like, that guy stabbed that guy in the face. That guy punched my brother in the face there from W9. I'm from NW, whatever. Proper mad level street craziness. And this is the song they played on a regular basis. And I grew to really like it. So that's why I chose it. It's my cool new hip-hop song, huh? Keeps me contemporary, down with the kids, huh?
How old is your brother?
25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I keep referring to my little brother and I'm always like talking to like 20, 21 year old, 22. So whenever I speak to him or refer to him as my little brother, people assume that he's young, but he's actually older than the majority of people I'm talking to.
So you said that he plays electronic music, but,
yes,
but he also likes gangster rap.
For sure, for sure. Well, like me, we as the older brother as well, we all listen to proper gangster rap growing up. So Tupac, Biggie, Nas, DMX, Jay-Z, all that kind of stuff is what we've all grown up on. But he's he used to really like his dubstep, house music, kind of like more electronic stuff. And then on top of that, he likes his UK hip-hop, rap, grime, whatever you want to call it, which is definitely different to American gangster rap because it's less image-based. It's less like I've got a 300 grand chain here and these girls and this, that, and the other. It's more about the estates that they come from. It's more real life selling drugs. It's far less glamorous and gritty and real, I suppose.
Oh, that's really interesting. So we can see, like, in the American scenario, all they say about in the hip-hop songs is that I have a lot of money, but I had a tough background. So you think that in England is different?
Yeah, indeed, because they're not showing off. You know, if these guys do have a lot of money and it shows that they've got big chains or, you know, cool cars, you can quite easily come to the conclusion that they're selling a lot of drugs. You know, these guys are legitimate drug dealers. This is where they got their money from, and they're kind of flaunting it a little bit. So it's less image based. It's more real. It really is. It's grimy, and they're all like street level videos. So it's just the guy with a camera. They'll be in front of a state. They have like 40 people behind them with their hoods, just kind of like smoking and just like looking all rude or whatever. It's far more grimy. It really is. And I suppose the English youth can relate to it far more instead of just being like, oh, I've got my crazy chain, my fat car. No, the majority of people don't have that. So It's far more relatable for the British youth.
Cool.
Oh, yeah.
So besides that new song, what most do you listen to today? How is it?
It's the hardest question that anyone can ask me. I've got this really eclectic, and I suppose it's just been shown. I've got two great examples of what I've just played to you. So I've got an old school Van Morrison tune and then some mad little, like, I was going to say gangster rap, but it's not. British UK rap songs. So it's very diverse. The majority of the songs that I like are what I've been introduced to. I don't go out and source new music too much. So it's eclectic big fan of rap music, big fan of singer-songwriters. I like my Motown stuff too. Talking about something new, I was going to do K-pop, and guys, I do recommend you go check out Baby Metal. They were a very close option for my new tune. I think they're great. Big fan of theirs. I was having a big conversation with like 8 people the other day. All of them knew about Baby Metal. It's the future. So guys, K-pop.
What do you think is so interesting about Baby Metal?
Oh my goodness, really? You want me to elaborate on that? I was just lying. What do I think is so interesting about Baby Metal? It's the contrast between the three members of the group and the music being played. So I watched a song the other day. Was it Hot Chocolate, Jasper?
Give Me Chocolate.
Give Me Chocolate. Now, I typed in Baby Metal into YouTube, and this is the first song that came up. It's a live performance. They're on stage, and the music that's being played is crazy heavy metal. Really fast drums, mad bass line. And then you've got these three, like, really pretty Japanese, brilliant, I got it right, Japanese girls, and they're all singing, like, a little line each, and it's the contradiction between, like, some manufactured pop and then some crazy heavy metal music, and it works really well. And I don't think many other cultures could, like, pull that off, but there's something about Japan that it just fits.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Japan is well known for being weird.
Yeah, for sure, but, like, cool weird as well.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's not just, like, weird where you can't understand it or get your head around it. It's just like, that is odd, but there's something about it that resonates pretty strong with me. So yeah, I love Japan. I want to go to Japan, but not to the cities. I want to go to like the temples and the green fields and I don't know, hit a bell and do a little bow.
Yeah, I'd love to go to Japan too. But okay, let's move on now to something borrowed.
Something borrowed. Okay.
Yeah, you bring us today a cover song, right?
I did indeed. Now, Something Blue.
It's something borrowed.
Something borrowed, okay. It's a something borrowed. Okay, great. Good, that's easier. The blue one was going to be a right performance. Something Borrowed, I came up with, well, to be honest with you, Jasper said to me it could be a cover song. It was like, it's a great idea. I had a couple of songs in mind, but I wasn't too happy with them. So I do what I normally do when I'm in a bit of a pickle, which is a Google search. So I did the top 10 covers of all time. Now, number one actually was a song called Hurt by Johnny Cash, which is a cover of a Nine Inch Nails song, which is a song about heroin addiction. Now, the lead singer said it was his like most personal song, and he felt really kind of, I don't know what's the right word here. He felt like Johnny Cash was stepping on his toes talking about such a personal song. Anyways, I was tooting my own horn then because I thought about that before doing my top 10 Google search, and it was number one. I was very happy, but I don't like that song too much. I know it's a cool cover, but da-da-da-da-da. So I'm scrolling through the top 10. I'm thinking, not that one, not that one, not that one. I come to number three, huh? Number three is what I've chosen. I'm a big fan of this guy, Jeff Buckley. Hallelujah.
You're listening to Burst. heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair, and she broke your throne, and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, It's not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah!
just listened to this great song called Hallelujah. Everyone knows it. It's a part of soundtrack of various like movies, and a lot of people cover them. Is that right, Ben?
Yes.
But this version in particular was covered by
Jeff Buckley for sure. Yeah, great song. Originally done by Leonard Cohen. Hallelujah is how I like to pronounce it. Me and Jasper have had an argument before. Not an argument, where he's expressed his displeasure at Alexandra Burke's cover of this song as well, where she has a, is it a transposition? Am I saying that right? I am saying it right. There you go, great. He doesn't like them. And Alexandra Burke has a very, very poor example of it in her cover of Hallelujah.
So this song was already covered by thousands of artists, but why did you choose this cover in particular, and why did you choose this song?
Okay, as I said prior, I was a little bit stumped when it comes to cover songs, so I did do a Google search, so Google helped me. But regardless of that, Jeff Buckley is a huge talent, and unfortunately he only recorded one album. I believe he died during the recording of his second album by drowning in the Mississippi River, got a little bit drunk, went out, jumped some water, and unfortunately never came back. So he is definitely a huge loss to the music industry, and his record, which is called Grace, it's incredible. I don't know where it fits in the top albums of all time, but it's definitely up there, and you can put a really sound argument forward for it being brilliant. And it really truly is. From beginning to end, it's a fantastic record. And I was actually living in the Canary Islands when I first came across it, and I mugged myself off. I came across a bit of a plonker. So we're playing it, and I was like, sounds really good, musicians are great, I just don't think the bloke can sing too well. So I criticised his vocals, yeah, which is silly, because once I got familiar with the album, the guy is a brilliant singer. Incredible album. And so, yeah, Jeff's a G, a musical G. It's as simple as that. When I came across this song, as I said, a great cover, I was like, I need to pay my respects to Mr. Buckley himself. So, yeah, incredible artist, gone too soon. Listen to his album. It's fantastic.
So when did he make this cover?
I reckon it's probably around 96, 97. I'm not too sure, though, but that's what I think. And the song that really made it, or the film, should I say, that really made it popular was Shrek as well. You were saying the OC before?
Yeah.
Where, come on, what's her name?
Marissa dies.
How?
In a car accident.
So sad.
Yeah,
it's,
I know.
It's not good. So anyway, Marissa died, and we had that song played out over that. And then Shrek, I'm not too sure what part of that it was played in Shrek.
That's true, but I don't remember either.
But it was definitely pulling at my heartstrings. Some kind of like ogre slash like human princess love crazy story.
Yeah. So like this song in particular, if you would like to recommend our listeners, in what situation they should listen to this song?
Do you know what? I think it's actually one of those songs that could fit many different moods. It's whatever mood you're in is how you interpret the song. You know, you could be sad and listen to it, I suppose. You could, in a weird way, be a little bit thankful. Like I could listen to that maybe at like a newborn child, my newborn child, not anyone else's, just holding a new baby, like, oh. But imagine that, you know, having your child in your hands and listen to that song. There's something about the emotions that provoke, which is just, I don't know, send you the tears, you drop the baby, and then you'd be crying even more, because anyways, we'll leave that one alone. But yeah.
Okay. okay. But for looking for this cover song in particular, you had to search Google, had a little help. Mm-hmm. So you can say that you don't like cover songs in special.
Yes, I do. That is a Keenan and Kel reference there. But it was difficult to come up with one that I wanted to share that a lot of people would like. You know, it was difficult. It was difficult. So, as I said, this is a little bit of a song that everyone would enjoy, everyone would know. And when it comes to covers, I do, but not ones that would suit here, not ones, I don't know. This is what I settled on. Is that all right? Yeah? Mm. Okay, with it?
Okay, so let's move on now to our last song, unfortunately. We're going to play now a blues song.
The blues song. Now, this was very difficult to come to. At first, I thought about blue. And then, okay, so connotations of the word blue. Thought blue movies, that doesn't work. And then I thought more blue stuff. There's a song by Leanne Rice, which she sings, which is just literally, she sings blue. Thought that's a little bit boring. And then I thought Snoop Dogg, yeah? Got the Bloods and Crips. Bloods wear red. Crips wear blue. Snoop's a Crip. I'm going to do a Snoop tune. And then I thought, I don't want to do that either. Mm. So I left that one alone. And I thought, what else is blue? Being sad. Huh?
Yeah,
being sad, feeling a little bit blue. Now, this song is not unfortunate. It's an absolutely gorgeous song. Funnily enough, when you're talking about covers, I actually heard this song originally as a cover and then went listen to the original version, and it's one of the only times that the second iteration of the song I've listened to actually preferred to the first one. So it's a gorgeous song by a lady called Bonnie Raitt, and it's called I Can't Make You Love Me.
And that was Ben's choice for a blues song, I Can't Make You Love Me.
Oh, I do try my best, but it just fails at all times. Potions, cards, presents, flowers, chocolates. I always just get kicked to the curb. It's no good.
So, Ben, you chose this lovely...
Yeah, no, sorry. I was just making myself laugh here. I scared her for a second, but no, I'm just amusing myself.
So, Ben, you chose this lovely song as Something Blue because you consider it a sad song.
Yeah, it is sad, isn't it?
But how do you identify to this song? Do you have like a moment in particular where you remember it? Or
not necessarily. You know, I think the actual... the content of the song, the emotion it's putting forward, is something we can all relate to. I'm sure we've all suffered rejection at some point in our lives, and there's people that we want to love and it's not necessarily working out. So in that sense, of course we can relate to it, but there wasn't like a heartbreak. It wasn't like a girl got rid of me. I did once again my Google search, come up with like soppy love songs, put this on and then just cry into my pillow. You know, that's something I do regularly, but it wasn't something that was provoked by this song. This song, literally, the reason why I like it, I just think it's a great example of music once again. I think she sings it brilliantly. I just love it. I think it's a very powerful, emotive song too. So, yeah, when I was thinking about Something Blue, I was like... And this just fit the criteria, so...
But in general, do you think that when you're feeling something, do you like to play music along with it, or you just feel it without a background song?
No, I don't put on music to complement my moods. My moods change like the wind. You know, every 3 minutes I'll be thinking of something different or feeling something different. And then when I'm not feeling something different, I'm just feeling something vacuous. I love that word. I can write it, but I can't pronounce it. Vacuous thoughts going on in my head regularly. I just, yeah, as I say, stare at a wall and not much going on. So no, it doesn't complement my mood. I'll put it in my car, to say it's on my like iPod or something like that. I'll put it on random and it'll be... Literally, those four songs I've just played for you today could follow each other consecutively, and I'll be in my car just very happy at one second, doing my gangster stuff, throwing up my West Side gunshots, and I'll be doing my cool little rap things. And then a second later, I'll be singing a love ballad, just singing, oh, where's the girls in my life? So, no, I suppose instead of it complementing my mental state at that time, I will morph into whatever feelings they're wanting me to feel. You know, so I'll go with the flow of the music instead of the music kind of complementing how I feel.
Actually, I thought you made some interesting choices on your Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something Blue, because you're a very happy person. You're always like super, super like doing band stuff, like jumping around and dancing. And when we listen to these songs in particular, like Hallelujah and I Can't Make You Love Me, you see like a soft side of you that you don't show, actually. I never see you sad or, you know.
Good. I hope you never see me sad. You know, as humans, we always have a range of emotions, but I am very rarely sad. I think I'm overly, well, in general, quite a happy person. I'm an optimist for sure. Even if things are going bad, I can still spin it as to we can make it good. So no, I'm not a sad person. It's not part of my character. I've never really ever suffered with depression. I felt down before. My goodness, we all have. But as I say, there's whenever you lay your head down at night, tomorrow's a new day. And, you know, you can, there's, we're going on a tangent a little bit. There's a podcast I listen to, a great one. And he always says, it's like, you can be the superhero in your own movie. You know, you can wake up at the age of like 38 and your life's rubbish. And you wake up and he's like, sod it, I'm changing everything now. And as humans, we always have that facility to change. So I'll never dwell on things going bad, as the future's always out there. So yeah, optimist at heart, but you know, I like emotions being provoked. So I do have a wide spectrum of songs, and I am quite a soppy guy as well, so I do like a love song.
Oh, that's so cool. So as now we're ending our show, but we have Ben that is part of our Burst team.
Burst.
I think it's fair to ask you, Ben, what are you preparing for our next Burst shows? What the listeners can expect for you as a producer?
As a producer, you can expect a lot of shenanigans and things going wrong, some technical malpractice, things along those lines. But going forward, at the moment, I am doing my Motown show. Mm-hmm. I did my first show with Jasper, our great producer going on right now. And I tried to record Ben's Informed Motown Hour a couple of hours ago. So in a couple of hours, I'm going to do my second attempt and my second show. So I'll be doing my Motown show. And then me and Jasper are going to get like crazy creative and come up with loads of stuff. We're the heads of like news, documentary and some other madness. Something like, I don't know, something crazy in left field. So there's going to be loads of stuff coming from me, but it's all going to be a little surprise to yourselves and also to myself.
Cool, we're looking forward to it then. You just listened to Something Old, Something New, Something Borrowed, Something Blue with our special guest for today. It's Ben Van Hook.
Oh, Ben Van Hook, it sounds great. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much for listening. And I hope you see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.